Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, staff meeting delegation and succession planning. Here we go. You know, one of the mistakes that a lot of us make as managers is thinking that all the things we have to do when it comes to management, right? You know, all those things we do, and then just getting completely overwhelmed with it all.
Yeah.
You know, meeting.
And it comes out of our mouth as, we're busy. I'm so busy. Yeah,
exactly. Well, you got a lot of stuff going on. You know, you got meetings, developing your team, performance reviews, coaching, goal setting, succession planning, promotions. It's a long list of things to do. And not to mention all those non-managerial responsibilities.
Yeah, because you know, Mark, this won't work for me because I'm actually a working manager, as if there's ever been a non-working manager in the history of humankind. But yeah, you're right. It seems busy. The problem is that we see too much of this stuff in unconnected ways because most managers don't have a theory of connectedness, a way of thinking about management. We see all these things as individual obligations rather than as part of our larger responsibility of managing performance. Everything you mentioned in managerial stuff above a minute ago it's performance management. How can we get the most out of our team to deliver the most value for the organization? That's what managers do. How can we improve productivity, right? The reason we do succession planning and goal setting and coaching and annual reviews, developing our team, promoting people and so on is to improve productivity. That's why. Promotions are not primarily a reward. They're the organization trying to improve productivity. So our suggestion is simply, let's combine these things. And we have a simple way today to combine succession planning, performance improvement, and delegation. And the benefit of it is you get, as a manager, is you get one less meeting you have to run.
Oh, okay. So that sounds like some of our past shows. It kind of sounds like magic. So
yeah.
So Mr. Wizard, please share the magic.
So we're gonna describe how to delegate the running of your staff meeting to one of your directs as part of your succession planning efforts. It's really, really simple. And when you think succession planning in most organizations, well, when you think succession planning in manager tools, think delegation immediately, because that's how you plan successions, is you give your people more to do. And we have six steps today, very, very simple, very straightforward cast. Step one, we recommend you delegate the running of your weekly staff meeting, and we'll tell you a little bit more about why in just a second. Number two, we want to be clear, everyone on your team can, everyone. There are no exceptions. Everyone on your team can and should have the ability to run your staff meeting, period. Step three is, point three is, this is really basic succession planning. We're just going to give you a little background on succession planning. And in step four, we're going to walk through the sample script of how to delegate your running your staff meeting to any one of your directs. Very, very simple. In step five, we're going to suggest you also set up a delegation rotation around the staff meeting so everybody gets a chance to do it. And the last one, you can actually have top performers do the delegation to other members on your team.
Wow.
Just six simple things, all of which are related to succession planning and which allow you to do it because you're delegating something that takes your time and will make the meeting easier for you because you will no longer be running it. You'll be contributing more.
Cool. Who would have ever thought we could have made meetings so valuable. So,
yeah.
Okay. So you're going to delegate the running of your weekly staff meeting to one of your directs.
Yeah. Frankly, we talked about this in the original effective meetings cast nearly, 3.5, 4 years ago or so. We recommend someone else always running your staff meeting when you can, and that's through the process of facilitation. In most cases, we recognize that because of manpower, we recognize that you may end up having to have the chair and the facilitator be the same person, but you could easily be the chair of the meeting and have somebody else facilitate it. What we're actually suggesting here is that you teach your directs. We recommend you delegate to your directs the responsibility of chairing and facilitating the meeting. They're in charge of setting the agenda, making sure the agenda is distributed, that the meeting starts on time, that it stays on time, that it stays on agenda, that it achieves its objectives in each agenda item as well as the overall. And in all ways, essentially, follows whatever standard you have for effective meetings. And look, don't go invent one. We have one. You may not like it. Okay, fine. Then invent one. But ours works just fine.
Right. And the great thing about this is it's really easy to do. I mean, this is, This is simple. I mean, you're delegating something that's pretty important, but it's simple. And it's only one of two meetings that we recommend every manager has, the other being, of course, one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Do we really have to mention that? But maybe. But this is a meeting you have to attend, right? So why not delegate it? In so many other delegations, there's more of a need for reporting on progress or setting up metrics. It makes it a little bit harder. But in this case, with your own staff meeting, you're going to be there,
yeah,
right? You're going to get to observe the performance of your direct firsthand.
Yeah, when they say, how am I going to know how good I'm doing? Oh, I'll be there. I'll watch. And when we're done, I'll tell you how well you did. That's easy. Yeah, you have to be there anyway. We're not suggesting you not go to your meeting. We're just suggesting stop running it, have somebody else do it, and have them do it right in front of you. It's essentially a dress rehearsal for them becoming a manager and having their own staff meetings. Don't make them, you know, we've said it before, the more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. This is an easy one to have your folks sweat in front of you so they don't bleed when they get their own team.
Right. Well, it's even easier because they've seen you do it before. Right. This is, you're not delegating something that they've never done before. They've never even seen. They see you do it every week. I mean, they see you every week running effective staff meetings. So why not?
Yeah. And look, staff meetings are great. They follow a pattern, usually. There's always there's already somewhat of a common ground about what the expectations are. And that's not to say we're going to gloss over the standards or the details of what we want, but they will have some sense of whether they're doing well or not based on how closely it adheres to the way you've been doing it. And that just means agreeing on standards. And the great thing about that is that if you've already seen it done it, agreeing on the standards in this delegation will take less time because they essentially know what the standards are, even if you haven't verbalized them.
Right. How many people do you think took a little bit of a gulp when I said that, of course, they've been observing you running effective meetings the entire time?
Right. Right. I really am surprised. We've only done a cast, I think. One cast on the staff meeting. And I think a lot of people are happy about that because they're worried if we do 10, we'll start asking them to tell us about their staff meetings. And we really don't know. There are people who say that we're wrong, and that's okay. That's been that way for years and years and years now. But that say you don't need a staff meeting. You know, all we need is Twitter. But we believe that a staff meeting is critical because the manager tools way is managing by individual. Not by group. You don't manage a team. You manage the individuals on the team. However, the team still exists and there needs to be a forum for the team to have cross communication and so on. And that's why we have a staff meeting. But you may discover that if you have a staff meeting, you may not want your staff meeting to be replicated because it's not that good. So we may have to freshen up our delivery of our own staff meeting before we delegate it. Now, look, you can, if you want to, you can take a rotten staff meeting and delegate its running to one of your team and say, use these guidelines, even though I know I don't, right? Say, use manager tools. I'm delegating it to you to make it good because right now it's terrible.
Yeah, but doesn't that make it hard on folks? I mean, now you're asking the direct to implement change, not only to run the staff meeting, but now they've got to implement change. And that's a different thing entirely, I think.
Yeah. Look, some of them will absolutely feel like a champion, like, wow, she's entrusting it to me and she doesn't even know how to do it. And if I can do it, and if I can make our meeting better and people see that I did it rather than her, that's a pretty big deal. Right. And by the way, it makes the manager look good that you're that comfortable with your level of confidence that you don't worry about somebody rivaling you for power. Don't assume this is some that you shouldn't do it because people are going to wonder who's in charge. Believe me, they know who's in charge. It's you with the big fat red sign on your forehead.
Yeah, and there's probably about 50% of the people out there that are listening right now that would be comfortable with that, but the other 50%, maybe not.
Exactly, yeah. Look, they will be implementing a change in front of the whole team. Delegating to them both the running of the meeting and the changing of the meeting makes it a much harder effort. There's no question about it. It is far better for us to first set the example and then hand off an effective meeting versus that crap meeting that's been going on now for some of us.
Now, you said earlier that that everyone on the team, I mean, you said, and you stressed that everyone should have the ability to run a staff meeting, and individual contributors, leaders, everybody.
Yeah. Look, everybody wants to, it's funny. People pick and choose the data that they want. And yeah, I do it too. They pick and choose the data that support their point of view. I read something somewhere recently that we don't learn new things. We just tell ourselves we learned something that supports our worldview. But yeah, everybody wants to say, well, I'm an individual contributor. I don't have to run a meeting. I don't want to be a manager. I just want to be a coder. I want to be an engineer or, you know, I want to be a salesman. And then they all say, but you've got to be comfortable with the world being more fluid and ad hoc teams and virtual teams and remote teams and, you know, short-term teams that are all built on certain principles that aren't about hierarchy or structure or organizational power.
What do you mean? So you mean like those kind of matrix type teams, like they actually have meetings, right? And,
yeah.
And so you have a bunch of individual contributors.
Yeah. So it might be that even though you're not a boss, you end up being the most senior person. And somebody says, some VP says, hey, you run the meeting. And then if you don't know how, people think you're an adult that still wets your pants.
Okay, that's a manager tools first.
Yeah, I mean, really, you have to be able to do this. And if your people don't know how to run a meeting, if they go elsewhere, you're running the risk of having them being asked to run a meeting, people assuming that they can, because most executives assume most managers or most adults could be able to run a meeting in most situations. I know there are exceptions, but you don't want to have your direct be the one that gets called to run a meeting and have him or her say, I don't know how. It looks bad. So, look, meetings have a lousy reputation because people who are running the meetings do a lousy job of it. But I've been in many, many, many great meetings. Part of everybody's development in any organization of any size, even a two-person firm, frankly, is the ability to chair a meeting using some sort of effective meeting standard, whatever it is. Like I said, even for the person who says, I only want to be an individual contributor, it's important. The whole thing about hierarchy going away, that's crap, okay? And we're going to be more team-like and more fluid and everything else. Even if you're an individual individual contributor, you're going to be on teams. You're going to be asked to run meetings. As the firm gets leaner, there'll be more people running meetings, not less. This is a complete no-brainer. The person who shies away from running a meeting is saying today, I don't want to contribute to the newer way of decentralized leadership. I don't want to be part of the newer, more fluid culture. And that is a dangerous place to be in the 21st century.
Yeah.
And it's becoming more likely that you're going to have to do it. Don't send your directs into combat, if you will, without this simple skill.
Yeah. And what an opportunity to really help change the culture of a company, because most meetings are done poorly. Frankly, I can't think of any practice in most companies that is done as poorly, as consistently as meetings.
Yeah. It's not just commonly needed, like we mentioned before, but it's desperately needed because it's meetings stink. They're worse than they stink. I mean, it's bad word time. Start late, finish late, no agendas, don't achieve their purpose. In fact, I think in our effective meetings cast 4 years ago, we actually said the first slide is why don't meetings work? And there's no purpose, their purpose isn't communicated, or there is a purpose, but they don't have the skills to achieve the purpose. It's awful. Meetings are the second biggest time waster in large organizations. And even though they're only the second biggest time waster, they're the most expensive time waster because everybody's wasting time together.
Okay. And let me just do my role here for you poor listeners out there who can't ask the question. So what is the first biggest time waster?
Email.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Folks, you can thank me later.
Yeah, later. Okay, bye. But now look, here's the great thing about this situation that we're in. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed person rules. You don't have to be great at meetings. You just have to be better, slightly better than the unwashed masses. If we take the time to develop this simple, but yet inexplicably rare, powerful skill among all of our directs, not only does our job get easier, believe me, it will. The first time you go through a meeting that's your staff meeting that you're not chairing, but you're going to contribute and somebody else is chairing, facilitating, and taking notes and going to publish the notes, you're going to love it. Not only does our job get easier and we do better work in the meeting, but our directs look much better more often in more other places in the organization, which is a succession planning win for us.
That leads to our next point, which is folks have these misconceptions about what succession planning is. They think that succession planning is this thing that happens between closed doors. A bunch of executives get in a room and they start talking about all the people in the organization.
Yeah.
And that's not what succession planning is all about. That's certainly part of it.
It happens.
But a big part of it is simply having directs start doing the work that you do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's essentially a form of succession planning and delegation are joined at the hip, right? At one end of the succession planning spectrum, you've got the steel cage death match. Oops, we did it poorly. We didn't grow. We're not productive enough. We need to fire some people. And the other extreme is who's going to get promoted? Who gets promoted? The person most likely to make a difference in the next role. Who is that person? The person who has achieved the best results in the job they're in now, plus who has shown the most skills for the next level. How do you show skills in the next level? You actually do them. You do them wrong 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and then you get good at them. But you do them wrong in front of your boss and your peers rather than in front of a team who's laughing at you and saying, we're never going to follow him when the going gets tough.
So we've talked about that before, but we never really said, well, how do you know when somebody's ready to do the job at the next level? What do they have to demonstrate? They have to do those things that the next level does.
Yeah, that's right. Results at the level you're at and proof that you can handle skills at the next level. That doesn't sound hard, does it? I mean, I know some people are probably going, ooh, that's really cool. I guess I've never read that before. That's just so deeply assumed by most executives, it never gets said out loud. But that's proof that sometimes the things that go without saying need to be said.
Exactly. Well, and the other cool thing about this is, man, this frees up some time for you each week if you're delegating running the meeting. And I don't know about you, but I've spent quite a bit of time in my career running meetings, and I would have loved to have those, you know, several thousand hours back.
Yeah, just not having to worry about getting ready, right? And rather than thinking before the meeting about what do I need to do to get the process of the meeting ready, because we talk in the meetings about process versus content, you can actually get content thoughts ready for the meeting. Which is just a huge, it's a quantum step for most managers. We're going to basically move up the productivity chain by giving the time it takes to get ready for the meeting, the process of the meeting, the agenda and the ground rules and all that sort of stuff, by giving that time to give that task to somebody else. And then we use the time that we get back on another activity that's going to deliver more value to the organization. It's not that there's no value in preparing for the meeting, because if you do a little bit of preparation and the meeting's very efficient and effective, that's a good thing, because it's an expensive process. A meeting when everybody's sitting in a room and all those salaries are ticking away every minute.
Yeah, it's not that there's no value in it. Just the fact is that value can be created by somebody who's not paid as much, frankly.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, exactly. It's, what is that? Managerial Economics 101, right?
Exactly.
If we and or one of our directs, one or more of our directs can do a given task, the direct should do the task because they're a cheaper provider of labor.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the giant sucking sound of succession planning, I guess.
Yeah. And I think there's a point that doesn't get said very often, which is succession planning is not only improving our direct's productivity, but improving our own as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, well, I guess it makes sense as well because we're somebody else's direct.
So if we can improve ourselves and our directs, and then our boss is doing the same thing, this gets serious pretty fast in terms of the benefits to the organization. Now you have to be willing to go through some pain. People are going to make mistakes, but they're going to do it in front of their boss rather than in front of their boss's boss and in front of a big budget and so on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Another great benefit of this is that we get to observe our team members develop and compare.
Yeah. Particularly if you do the rotation we talk about toward the end, right? When we delegate to our directs, we get to watch them handle new responsibilities. This is one of my favorite parts of this cast. Listen to this now. This is something that a lot of managers wonder, how am I going to find opportunities to evaluate people? Well, okay, you do this. You get to watch them handle new responsibilities. You get to see them handle stress. You get to see how they respond to challenges and questions. We get to see them seek consensus. We get to see them work in front of others. And sometimes we get to see them work with people they don't like. We see how other people on the team respond to them, and we actually get to really know, as opposed to just infer or assume based on other skills, who is really good at running meetings, which is not trivial. It might be somebody we least expect, and that's good to know, because when we're in one of those succession planning meetings, that's what we're doing, is comparing levels of development. This is an opportunity to give an important skill to everybody, to have it benefit you in terms of more free time, and to see real-time comparative developmental results with your directs.
Yeah, and this is not only comparisons relative to how well they run a meeting, but it's all those other opportunities you're looking for development. I mean, we hear from a lot of managers, well, I don't get to observe my folks enough to give them feedback. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're doing a staff meeting every week and you're not running the meeting and you're able to focus not only on the content, but on the interactions of people within the context of that meeting, you've got a lot of opportunities to give people feedback and develop.
Yeah, I think that is the one. We're downplaying this a little bit. I talked about freeing up some time each week, But that is the big unspoken gem of this cast. It's not just the time you save getting ready for the meeting, because that we can measure, right? It is the sense that you're no longer having to do both process and content in the meeting. At 2 minutes before agenda item change, you're not thinking, I've got to get Bill to be quiet. You're thinking, is he making a good point and can I add to it and come up with something better that will lead us in a new direction for more productivity and profitability? That, to me, is the... We don't even have to talk about that. It's just one of those undocumented... It's like a bug. It's an undocumented feature, actually benefit, of this process. You will no longer have to worry about the process of your meetings, which probably for most of us takes up 60 to 90% of our brain power in a meeting. Imagine having going to all the meeting staff meetings you go to now and having 60 to 90% of your brain power freed up to think about the actual topics you're discussing in the meeting. That's huge. It's just huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And before we're talking about delegating to save time, but here you're talking about, yeah, you're saving time, but you're creating value that's far in excess of that, orders of magnitude in excess of the value.
Wendy and I were talking on the phone today, in fact, and she made a point that, she noticed that there's this trend toward chiefs of staff. People have chiefs of staffs in organizations, and it's like a super admin that sort of run things for them. This is what a chief of staff would do. They'd run the meeting, and that would free up the CEO or the COO, although most people, quite frankly, there are a lot of people who want chiefs of staff who can't justify them, can't afford them, and really don't need them anyway. But regardless, the idea would be, let's have my chief of staff run it. Well, if you don't have a chief of staff, and that would be most of us, then you have one of your directs do it.
Okay, so now we're talking about delegating something. So let's go through a brief example of how you would delegate this.
Yeah, again, many people love this when we give very detailed guidance. We don't want to insult your intelligence. We're sure you can follow the scripting. But let me just walk through the model, and I'll state each step in our delegation model or script, the delegation script, and then I'll give you an example. So the first step is we state our need for help, a very powerful first step. And I would say, Martin, I need your help with a staff meeting. The second step is we tell them, the person, why we're asking them. And I say to Martin, you know, you're a future manager and running meetings is a regular managerial duty. You need to learn how to do it well now before you have to do it for real. Okay. The third step is we ask for acceptance. We don't describe the details. We just ask for acceptance. And the way we do that in this case is, would you please take responsibility for the running of our weekly staff meeting? Notice I did not say, would you please take over running my weekly staff meeting? They're not taking anything over. They're gaining responsibility. And it's not my staff meeting, it's our staff meeting. Okay. Would you please take responsibility for the running of our weekly staff meeting? And 80% of the time they say yes. But in any event, you're probably in some cases going to have to describe the details. And it might sound like this. Here's what that means. Thank you for saying yes, by the way. And here's what that means. You'll now be responsible for creating and distributing the agenda the day before, after having solicited input and gathering the usual documents that go into it. You know, the attachments that are always there. You'll facilitate the entire meeting from start to finish, and you'll also put out meeting notes by the end of the day of the meeting. Periodically, you're going to ask for input about the meeting's processes and policies to ensure we're keeping high standards for the right reasons. Okay. The fifth step is we go over deadline and quality standards. It might sound like this. The deadline for agendas is COB the day before the meeting. For the first three meetings, though, it will be one day before that so that I can review what you've created and give you any feedback so we can allow changes. Standards for the meeting itself are pretty simple. Start on time. Stick to our set of ground rules. Stick to the agenda. Use a parking lot and have it on the agenda and cover it each meeting. Fix responsibilities at each agenda item completion. Finish on time. And as I mentioned, publish meeting notes. Now, look, folks, if those standards sound familiar, they come right from our effective meetings guidelines. Again, we mentioned this before. You don't have to use those, but they sure do make it easy, and they work just fine, according to the thousands of managers who have been using them for years. Okay. Next is we clarify reporting standards just to make sure, right? So for the first three meetings you chair or run, you and I will meet privately afterwards for me to give you feedback about the meeting and answer your questions. After that, you're on your own. And then the last step is ask for skill or resource needs. And that sounds like this. I know you'll be great at this. What do you need from me? And even describing what I was doing, in addition to doing what I was doing, it took like 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, it's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
So okay. So we covered the delegation model real briefly. So if you haven't listened to it, then
yeah,
please, go back to listen to the cast on delegation.
And if you're balking right now because you haven't listened to the delegation model cast, and you're wondering why we would ask for acceptance before we describe the details, particularly those of you who are engineers and IT people and technical folks in high seas, trust us, we're right. And when you listen to that cast, you'll understand why.
Yeah, it's a real gem. You ought to go listen to it, if only for that.
Yeah. After years of doing it the wrong way, we learned the right way, and it works better now.
It's amazing. Okay, so our fifth point we want to cover today is setting up a delegation rotation schedule.
Yeah, how do we do that? This is easy. I mean, really, this is kind of a denouement in this cast. Now we know how to delegate to one of our team, right? By definition, we also know how to delegate to everybody on our team. And that's easy. How do we do it? After the first person we've delegated to has, based on whatever measurement we want to use, mastered the meeting leadership process, we delegate the management of the meeting to somebody else on the team following this same cast, this same process, these same simple principles. We just say, okay, Bob's done, or Martin's got it. He nailed it. Now it's Joe's turn, and then it's Allie's turn, and so on.
Now, can we share with people that we're going to do that ahead of time?
Look, you can totally announce it. We don't have to. You can. The moment the second person learns that they're being delegated to, if we haven't announced it, everyone is pretty well likely to figure it out.
Yeah. And if they don't, then you got some more information to
use later on. And they'll, you'll totally know they figured it out because somebody's going to come up and ask if everyone is going to have to do it. And what you do is say yes.
And there you go.
And then somebody should say, well, I really don't think I need to. And you say, hey, thanks for that input. Oh, so I don't have to? Oh, no, you're going to have to. But I'm glad to know that you think you don't need to. But I disagree. Every once in a while, I get to be in charge. And hey, thanks. Appreciate the input. I'm being somewhat facetious, folks. Although a lot of managers I know out there, even though we do what we recommend all the time, make that red sign as small as possible. Don't forget it never goes away. And at times you just need to point to it as small as it is to remind people, gee, this is not a democracy. This is not consensus. Boy, is consensus overrated lately. Ugh, consensus is so overrated. You make a decision, and decisions are not consensus. They are one person.
Now, you said something earlier, the sixth point, which is kind of interesting, could be confusing to folks, which is having top performers delegate directly. So are you suggesting that one of our directs would actually delegate to one of our other directs?
Sure. This will sound really kind of corny, but we're gonna delegate to them the responsibility, the obligation of delegating the meeting to somebody else. If you want them to be good at delegating when they become a manager, they have to start delegating now. If you're a first-line supervisor and they don't have anybody reporting to them, in other words, they're not a manager with people they can delegate to, have them delegate it to a peer. The delegation process is just the same. There's nothing in the delegation process that says it has to be manager direct. It's built on that principle, but the rationale behind it is fundamentally to convince somebody to take on additional responsibility, and there's no power associated with it at all.
Right. But we make it clear to both of them that this delegation is part of the person doing the delegating. That's part of their development, as right. is taking on the responsibilities for the meeting as part of that person's development.
Yeah. And the first time that somebody who works for you has to delegate and they get 50 billion questions from one of their peers, they're going to think, I hate that guy. And they're going to realize, I am that guy. Right. And they're going to start being much better at accepting delegation because they've been on the receiving end of somebody not accepting a delegation.
Right. So what happens here? Now we have kind of an interesting situation where one of my directs delegated the running of the meeting to one of the other directs. And let's say the meeting doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Who gets the feedback now?
The person who's running the meeting and the person who delegated, if in fact we can figure out what they, if you delegate to Joe, if I've delegated to you and you delegate to Joe and Joe runs a poor meeting, I'm going to give you feedback and I'm going to say, when you do it that way, whatever I saw or heard, whatever you've told me about the delegation, here's what happens. Joe doesn't know enough to run a good meeting. And then I'm also going to give feedback to Joe. I don't recommend you give feedback to Joe because you're not his boss and feedback is built on the power model associated with the boss. But I'm going to give feedback to Joe and say, hey, when you run the meeting and you do X, here's the bad things that happen. But they're both the delegator and the delegate himself or herself.
There you go. All the folks have written us and told us you just don't have enough opportunities for giving feedback. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Two for one. What a deal.
All this stuff, succession planning and performance management, some new managers say to us, gosh, it seems like so much, going back to our earlier point. But look, try to keep it simple, folks. How do you get better at stuff? You get better at stuff by doing it. How do we find more time to get better at our stuff? By delegating other stuff to our directs. How do our directs get better at our stuff? By doing our stuff. That's it.
Delegation, performance management, meetings, development. It's all the same stuff.
Yeah. And I think we also need to do a cast on coaching somebody through this process of running a meeting.
There you go. Yeah, that would
combine
that would
coaching and meetings. Yeah. Okay, so look, delegate that weekly staff meeting. Okay, everybody in your team can and should be able to do it, and so you can rotate it through. That's the point I made later. This is basic succession planning. It's not rocket science. Succession planning is not something that happens somewhere else. This is succession planning, making your people more robust contributors to the organization and giving yourself more time to worry about other things besides running a meeting, for instance, is an effective way to make your folks more productive. And all you have to do is follow our delegation model, which is briefly covered in this cast and more in detail in previous casts. And then rotate it around to everybody. And then finally, last step, have your top performers delegate to other folks so they can learn how to delegate as well as running a meeting.
Excellent. All right, my friend. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, partner.
We'll see you. That's it, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. Hey, if you don't know, I just wanted to point out that for registered members, and registration is free on the website, there is a registered members only RSS feed that contains all of the podcasts. Yep, every single one of them. So if you're challenged by trying to figure out how to download all the shows without going to the website, right-click Save As over 250 times, you may want to check out the Registered Members feed. Again, it's free. Just register on the website, www.managertools.com, and check out the RSS feed section for the Registered Members feed. All right, folks, we'll see you all again next week. So long.